It soon will be Christmas, with snowflakes and bells and turkeys and candy and songs and Noels. Do you know what it means? Do you know what it meant? Are you already 100%?
I know what it means. I do get your drift. It means I get zillions and zillions of gifts. It means Christmas morning, right under the tree, there are all kinds of gifts, and they're mostly for me.
Oh, no, you're quite wrong. Oh, no, you're adrift. That isn't my meaning. That isn't my drift. It's not about millions and zillions at all. It's not about piles of stuff bought at the mall. There's only one gift, and it's really quite small. It really is tiny. It really is little. It's hardly as big as a jot or a tittle.
Just one little gift? And that is the reason? Just one little gift for the whole Christmas season. That's really is awful. That really is bad. I guess you just haven't been reading the ads.
But wait till I tell you. The news is not sad. The news is not awful. The news is not bad. The news is the best news that you've ever had. The news is awesome and happy and glad. The gift is a baby. The gift is a boy. It's all about love, and it's all about joy. It's all about hope. It's all about peace. This baby is sweeter than pieces by Reese. Now what do you think? Now what do you say? Do you think this will be such a bad Christmas day?
That really is awesome, and now I agree. This gift is for everyone, not just for me. I do get your meaning. I do get your drift. So let's light a candle to honor the gift.
Almost 2,000 years ago, as the story goes, a clutch of sleepy shepherds were watching over their sheep on a star-brightened hillside in Palestine. It was a still, uneventful night. Suddenly, the darkness was filled with a strange light. The stillness was broken by angel voices singing, "Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill to all." So begins Christmas, one of the most beautiful and meaningful celebrations of the Christian calendar. Christmas actually begins with Advent, the season we are in as of this morning, the season we will be moving through for the next 4 weeks. Advent means coming. It is a time when we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Messiah. It is a time for reflection and preparation, and its mood is one of great joy. Advent points to the hope of Christ's coming again as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Advent makes innkeepers out of all of us, asking each one of us to make room for the arrival of the Christ child. And so this morning our preparations begin. Our church will begin to wear its Christmas apparel. As we make ready for the birth of the child by preparing the sanctuary, we also make ready ourselves and the sanctuary within our own hearts. As we join together in decorating this space, you'll hear some of the history and legends of the symbols that have become treasured parts of these special seasons of Advent and Christmas. We will rededicate them and ourselves to the service of God. Today, let us prepare him room in our hearts, in our lives, and in our homes.
A garland is often found lining the handrails into homes as a symbol of welcome and approach. For the Christian church at Christmas, a garland, or greens, remind us that God's welcome is for all people. Doesn't matter the social, economic, cultural, age, whatever, groups, all people. God's embrace is particularly clear for those who live in constant fear of not being accepted, of being teased, bullied, and ridiculed.
Mary would have known that kind of fear very well when she made the decision to be the mother of God's chosen one, Jesus. In those days, a young pregnant woman who was not married could have faced total exclusion from the community, certain poverty, or even death by stoning.
And that lives on in parts of our world today. When Joseph listened to the message of the angel and chose to become Mary's husband,
He was bravely going against everything that society would have expected of him. He didn't abandon Mary. Instead, he married her. And so Mary sang this song of deep joy that speaks so clearly of God's radical inclusion for all. Luke chapter 1. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor upon the lowliest of his servants. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him or respect him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, not cat food, and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." The poinsettia is native to Mexico, often growing 10 feet high. Its flowers are actually at the center of the colorful leaves, and the part that looks like a flower, the red, the white, or the pink, are actually the leaves. The legend of the poinsettia tells of Maria and Pablo, a sister and brother in Mexico. They were very poor, but always looked forward to the Christmas festival. Each year, a large manger scene was set up in the village church, and the days before Christmas were filled with parades and parties. The two children loved Christmas, but were always saddened because they had no money to buy presents. They especially wished that they could give something to the church for the baby Jesus, but they had nothing. One Christmas Eve, Maria and Pablo set out for church to attend the service. On their way, they picked up some weeds growing along the roadside and decided to take them as their gift to the baby Jesus in the manger scene. Of course, other children saw them and teased them when they arrived with their gift, but they said nothing, for they knew they had given all that they could. Maria and Pablo began placing the green plants around the manger. And as legend goes, miraculously, the green leaves turned into bright red petals, and soon the manger was surrounded by beautiful star-like flowers. Poinsettia plants only develop their lovely colored leaves after they have been subjected to a time of darkness. This unique feature makes it a symbol of surprise, like our God who makes our deserts bloom and our barren places spring to life.
Thirsty deserts will be glad, barren lands will celebrate and blossom with flowers. Deserts will bloom everywhere and sing joyful songs. They will be as majestic as Mount Lebanon, as glorious as Mount Carmel or Sharon Valley. Everyone will see the wonderful splendor of the Lord our God. Wreaths. The wreath is typically made of evergreens, often including pieces of holly, ivy, pine, and fir, all called evergreens because they never change color. Even in the midst of winter, they are evergreen, ever alive. They remind us of the unchanging nature of God and the never-changing gift of God's love. The wreath itself is shaped into a circle with no beginning and no end. The love of God holds us without conditions. With the tenderness of a parent, God seeks us out even when we feel abandoned and lost. Elizabeth and her husband Zachariah felt lost and abandoned by God. What they dreamed of for most of in life was simply what hadn't happened. Then, just when they had given up all hope, something remarkable happened.
When Herod was king of Judea, there was a priest by the name of Zechariah from the priestly group of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was from the family of Aaron. Both of them were good people and pleased the Lord God by obeying all that he had commanded. But they did not have children. Elizabeth could not have any, and both Zechariah and Elizabeth were already old. One day Zechariah's group of priests were on duty, and he was serving God as a priest. According to the custom of the priests, he had chosen to go into the Lord's temple that day and to burn incense while the people stood outside praying. All at once, an angel from the Lord appeared to Zechariah at the right side of the altar. Zechariah was confused and afraid when he saw the angel. But the angel told him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayers. Your wife Elizabeth will have a son, and you must name him John. His birth will make you very happy, and many people will be glad. Your son will be a great servant of the Lord. He must never drink wine or beer, and the power of the Holy Spirit will be with him from the time he is born. John will lead many people in Israel to turn back to the Lord their God. He will go ahead of the Lord with the same power and spirit that Elijah had. And because of John, parents will be more thoughtful of their children, and people now disobey God will begin to think that this ought to be, that this is how John will get people ready for the Lord." The Christmas tree. The Christmas tree is also evergreen, a symbol of rebirth in winter, a time of dormancy. It reminds us that new life is possible, even in the darkest times in our lives. The needles on the tree point upwards as if joyfully giving thanks to the Creator of life. In the words from a very old Christmas carol, "O Christmas tree, O Christmas tree, how richly God has decked thee. Thou bidst us true and faithful be, and trust in God unchangingly. O Christmas tree, O Christmas tree, how richly God has decked thee." At this point in our service, as we listen to Allison play, we invite you all to help decorate our tree. We have a number of Christmas balls and markers. Some of you have already done this. If you wish, you can take one of the balls and write on that ball the name or names of people you are missing this Christmas. And it isn't necessarily someone who has passed away. It could simply be somebody who lives far away or someone you just don't get to see as often as you'd like to. And then, as you are able, come forward and you can put the ball on our tree so that in spirit, our loved ones will be here with us. If you would like someone to bring your Christmas tree ball up here for you, then just raise your hand, and some kind soul, perhaps even a young person, will take that ball and lovingly place it on the tree for you. As you're doing that, I'm also inviting our young people to do their part in decorating the tree. Centuries ago, as legend have it, a candy cane maker, or actually a candy maker, wanted to present his own gift to the Christ child. And he too had nothing to give. And so in the middle of the night, as many of us have our brainwaves, it occurred to him that his gift could be the craft that God had blessed him with, the craft of making candy. And so he in fact came up with the peppermint-flavored candy cane, which we often turn hook up, but his was meant to be hook this way, a J for the baby Jesus. And so I will bring baskets of balls and markers out. If you already have names on a ball, come forward as you are able. Our young people can come and bring candy canes. This is a time of Advent organized chaos. So just let it unfold as it should, as Allison plays some wonderful music for us. Some markers. Let's take a moment to pray. God of hope, God of peace, God of joy and of love, we ask for your blessings on the hearts and souls of each person whose name now adorns our tree. May their spirits continue to be among us this Christmas season. Amen. The prophet Isaiah foretold a time when the darkness of the world would be replaced by light, and when that light would bless all people. Into our personal darkness comes Jesus, not just once long ago, but again and again, holding up God's promise of hope, even when life is filled with struggles. Listen now for Isaiah's words.
Who walked in the dark have seen a bright light, and it shines upon everyone who lives in the land of darkest shadows.